Thank you for being with us. My name is Charles Morgan, Word is Alive Ministries. For those of you who like to know where I'm preaching locally, we've got a new thing on our website. I've got a calendar there. You can go to wordisalive.org and you can just click on the calendar tab and it'll bring it up. Those have locations on them, and try to get all the pertinent information there and keep that updated so that you can just kind of look at that from time to time and see. I've got a couple of revivals coming up in October and looking forward to those. And so I hope that you can use that. I appreciate all those that support us. Like I said, we've been over a year now and still going strong, and people are just donating so we can stay on the air on the radio and keep this ministry going. And I'm as excited about it as when we started it. This morning we're going to be in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet because he wept for his nation. He was given a message to his nation that was not a popular message. It was that judgment has been passed down. Here's what's going to happen as a consequence of that judgment. And there's always a consequence to being judged. You go into a court of law, there's going to be a consequence. It may be a fine, it may be jail, it may be community service, whatever it is, there is consequences to that. And the nation of Israel had been judged and there was consequences. And that consequence was that they were going into captivity. Not a popular message. No one liked that. The king didn't like it. The priest didn't like it. No one liked it. They weren't looking at him and going, yay, man, that's great. We're going into captivity. But at the beginning of this book, we see Jeremiah and his call, God's call upon him, what he wanted him to do. And I think we can find some words in here that will should help us out today. In verse 5 of chapter 1 of Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou comest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not that I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, and to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. All right, this is the beginning of Jeremiah's ministry, as he's being called out, and there's four verses ahead of that, gives a time frame of when this was, so that we know historically where this falls, and he gives this, and then it said the word of the Lord came to me saying in verse 4, so a prophet is not just telling the future. A prophet is not coming up and saying, hey, I've got a crystal ball and I've seen everything. No, a prophet comes and they say, thus saith the Lord. They're saying what they've been told to say. That's what a prophet does. And so he is being given this message of God. Folks, we've been given a message of God too. As children of God, as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we've been told to take the message of Jesus throughout the world. We've been told what to say. We've been given the Bible. We know what to say. We know the words, and we should be doing that. And so he says, before I formed thee in the belly, I'm telling you what, God knew you before anything, before you even thought of. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, God formed Jeremiah. That's what he's telling. He said, what do we glean from that? God forms all human beings. He is the maker of all things. We say, oh, well, it's just a bunch of cells that came together. You know, there's two that come together. There's a reaction and cells start reproducing. And we know all that. We know how that is. But there are so many things that we're finding out more and more through the advanced science of what is actually occurring at conception. And we can look at this Bible. We know that God created all. So why wouldn't he create you? So you're not a happenstance. You may be looking at them. You may have been told that. You may have been told you're a mistake, that there's something wrong with you, that you can never be anything. But God said, I formed thee. I like that. Thee, very personal. That's what that means. He's not talking about anybody else. He's, I formed you. See, that's what he's saying to you right now. I formed you in your belly. Before I formed you, I knew you. I knew you. I knew who you were. I knew all about you. I created you. God doesn't create bad things. God created us. We're the ones that moved from him, and we're the ones that got away from him, and we're the ones that need to get back to him. And he created that avenue through Jesus Christ. He said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you came out of the womb, before you were born. So he goes back. He said, before I formed you in the belly, before I formed you in that womb. And then he goes, before you were born. He's covering it. He's saying, look, I knew you. I knew what I wanted you to do. He said, I sanctified you. I set you aside. God loves you today. God loves the entire world. Jesus said so. He told Nicodemus that, for God so loved the world. That's what he was talking about. He was talking about the cosmos. But see, this is the thing. God loves us, but he allows us. There's a decision you have to make. And I know there's some saying, well, you don't have that decision. You don't have this. It also says that they can't hear without preaching. They can't know without preaching. They're not going to hear without somebody telling them. I'm telling you, the Bible talks about this. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's what he desires. He wants you to accept Jesus Christ. And he wants you to do something if you have accepted Jesus Christ. He wants you to go about all the world. Now listen to this. He said, I sanctified you. I set you aside. He said, I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Now that's interesting in the fact that he was going to the nation of Israel. He was going to the nation, but he said, I set you over nations. There's a plural there. What does it mean? Because what he was doing had an impact on the world. What he was doing was for God, and it always has an impact. It always. You know, I read things about comets, you know, and they talk about, you know, that there's a crater here and a crater there where it hit the earth and there was an impact there and there's an impact zone, but it spread dirt everywhere. It did certain things, you know. What we do has an impact. You say, well, I just don't know what I've got to do for the Lord. I don't know if anything I do for the Lord really means anything. I'm telling you right now it does. It has an impact. I don't care what you're doing for the Lord, what God has ordained you to do, sanctified you to do, set aside for you to do. It has an impact. And it has more than just an impact right there. You say, well, I don't know about that. You know, I live in a small community. Do you know how many great preachers have come out of small communities and gone to the world? Taking it out, you know, and that message has been gone. And even if they don't, they go to some other small community and they tell somebody, and exponentially more and more people get told about Jesus Christ. You see, you have an impact. He said, I'm sending you to the nations. Today, you have an impact on the world. Going to all the world, preaching the gospel, teaching, telling them about Jesus Christ and seeing them saved and baptizing and then teaching them about it. Teaching them about the Lord. We need to learn every single day about the Lord. I'm telling you what, I learn every single day. And I mean, it just amazes me how I learn about the Lord. And it also amazes me at how thick-headed I am about so many things and don't get the message right away. Don't get the lesson right away. You know, that I allow myself to muddle in my own thoughts and my own actions instead of learning what God has to teach me. And then when I do find it, and I go, oh, you know, I really should have been listening all along. He said, I've ordained thee a prophet unto all the nations. Jeremiah had a purpose. You have a purpose today. Then Jeremiah, like all of us, makes an excuse. He says, oh God. And there's an exclamation point. Lord God. Oh Lord God. I mean, he's crying out. He's going, man, you know, he's doing this with feeling. It's hard to do this with feeling, you know, and just get it the way it should be, because it's just tough to speak it. But he was speaking out. He said, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. I'm too young. Too young. Now, it could have been any excuse. Could have been, I'm too old. I'm too gray. I don't know what I'm talking about. You know, I've got no time to do this. It could have been any excuse, but he said, I'm a child. I'm too young. You know, a lot of times we put down people that are too young. Oh, well, you know, and I've heard ministers put down by older people, you know, is, oh, no, they're too old or they're too young, you know, or whatever, you know, but especially a young guy comes along and he's preaching. Well, I don't need that young guy telling me what to do. I don't need him standing up there. He's preaching the word of God. You listen to him. He's preaching the word of God. God has given him a message. I don't care how young he is. You listen to that message. It's all about the message. It's not about the one that brings it. God's going to tell Jeremiah this. He said, but the Lord said unto me, say not I am child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. He said, don't be giving me that excuse. He said, didn't I just tell you I sanctified you? Didn't I just tell you that I'm the one that's setting you aside? He said, you go where I tell you and you say what I tell you and you're going to be okay. You see, that's what we got to do. We got to go where God tells us and we got to say what he has told us to say. It's not about my words. It's not about your words. It's about this word of God. And we look at this and it's for us to use and for us to take in and say, yes, this is what I need. Every day we need this in our lives. I don't care if, you know, and we should be studying, but if you don't get to, you get up and you run out with your cup of coffee and you just get in the car, you know, have that word of God in your mind. And there's radio stations on there that you can play, that you can hear the word of God. That's what I do. I don't get to hear a lot of preaching except on the radio. And that's where I listen to it the most. And I've got pastors and preachers. Some of them have passed on. They're with the Lord right now, but I still listen to them. And even the message will come on that I've heard before. And I go, I want to listen to that again. And I'll glean something new out of it. Every single day we should be soaking in the word of God. It may be somebody that comes up and talks to us and starts talking about church or that they talk to someone or their prayer life or something else. And we need to say, yes, I want to soak that up. I want to soak it up. It's the word of God. Your preacher gets up in front of you. You ought to be soaking that up. It may not be the message that you say, well, this is not for me, but it is for you. Every single time we hear the word of God, we should glean something from it. He said, you're going to go where I send you. You're going to say what I tell you to say. That's a great thing that God has said to us. He said, this is it. You don't have to come up with all these things. Then he says something in verse 8. Be not afraid. How many times have you thought about talking to somebody about Jesus Christ and you got afraid? Nope, can't do it. Bible tells us he's not giving us the spirit of fear. Why would there be so many references to Bible in the Bible about not being afraid? Because we're prone to being afraid. Even when we say, oh, I'm not afraid of anything. Yes, you are. You know, if you won't tell somebody about Jesus, you're afraid of it. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid of standing in front of them and telling them the truth. Look, the truth is not popular. I understand that. I've spoken the truth in churches and had people mad at me over it. I've had people come to me and go, well, I didn't like what you said. And I said, is it untrue? And well, no, I didn't like the way you said it. Well, okay. But truth is truth. Why didn't you take the truth? Why are you getting mad at the one that brought the truth to you? Why are you saying, well, I don't like you because you told me the truth? I've heard preachers stand up and go, don't be angry with me. I'm just the messenger. I'm just the one bringing this to you. God's the one that said it. And ultimately, those people who are angry with God because they don't want to obey the word of God in their lives, in their worship, and everything about them. Every single one that's come to me like that is out of the will of God. And they know it. And so they want to press against you, against whoever is bringing that message. They want to say, well, I don't like your message. You see, with Jeremiah, it wasn't about Jeremiah, but they struck out against Jeremiah because he was the one that was saying it. He said, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. He said, don't be afraid of it because I'm with you and I'm going to bring you out of it. Now, I'm going to tell you, Jeremiah ended up in a hole. I mean, a literal hole they threw him in. And I'm sure he was down there thinking, man, I remember what he said to me. He said, I'm going to deliver you. This don't feel like deliverance. I'm sure that he said, I'm sure that those thoughts went through his head. You say, why do you say that? Because he's a human being. And we know by seeing this, there was a time when he said, I'm done. I'm done. I don't want to do it anymore. And God said, no, you're not. You're not done. Get up and go back. I'm not done. You're not done. Let's go. Others got done. Paul had a time where he was tired and weary, and he had to be recuperated by his friends and brought back to it, back to his ministries. So I say these things because I know he's human and we're human, and I get that way. I get tired. I get to the point of going, wait a minute, is this really true? Is God made those promises? Those doubts pop in our head. I'm sure that when he was there and in jail that he thought, you know, hey, I'm not real sure. Even John the Baptist, he needed to make sure this is the Christ because he knew what was happening to him. That's called being human. But don't stay there. Those doubts are going to swirl, but have the ammunition to fight against it. He said, don't be afraid. I'm going to deliver you. I said so. It says, saith the Lord, but I said so, Jeremiah. Listen to my word. This is me. This is me telling you this. Take it up. Listen to me. This said, the Lord put forth his hand and he touched my lips. He said, now you've got my words. This is symbolic. He said, here you go, Jeremiah. Now you got it. Look, we've got this word in front of us. Look at it. We got a Bible. This Bible right here contains the word of God. Why don't we use it? Why don't we study? Why don't we know it? Why don't we know everything about it, every little aspect, and go, this is it. I want to use this. I want to take it, and I want to feast upon it. I want to know it. You know, the lowest times in my life is when I have not thought about the Word of God. When I've thought on my own thoughts, on the own things that I can do, and we all do it, and I've done it many times. Even when I knew better, I would get caught up in my own ways and my own thoughts and what I had to do and how I was going to do things. Those are the lowest times in my life. Until I remember, hey, I've got to get back to the Word of God. God's Word said this. He doesn't lie. Never has, never will. Everything he said is true. I may not see it. The road may be bumpy right now, but I know he's going to deliver me. I know he's got this. I know he's going to take me. So he said, I put my words into your mouth, Jeremiah. You say what I tell you to say. Isn't that an amazing thing that God does for us? He says, I will do this for you. He's given us his words. He said, just say what I said. You don't have to come up with some great pitch to go and talk to people or spread the word of God. You can teach a Sunday school class. You don't have to come up with your own words. Teach what the Bible says. If you're a pastor, you're a preacher, and you're a little reluctant because maybe your church is one of those churches that if you say something out of the Bible that they don't like, they get mad at you. Well, keep on preaching, brother. I'm telling you what, God will bring you out of it. God will deliver you. If you're feeling low, if you're looking at this and going, man, you know, I'm right there with Jeremiah. Well, realize that he did this for Jeremiah. He did it for Joseph. He did it for all these. He did exactly what he was going to do. You say, well, what about some of those that died for him? Well, that's just what happened. That's what he needed. He needed the impetus of that to take it and move it forward, or he was done with them. He was moving it on. Hey, we're all going to die. I say this all the time. The death rate in the United States is still 100%. I said this during COVID and it made people mad a little bit, but you know, it's true. You know, we got caught up in this thing and we allowed the government to tell us a lot of things, and we allowed them to shut down churches. And you've heard me say this before. I'm telling you what, it was a conspiracy of the devil to shut down churches, and he did a great job of it because the churches allowed him to do it. He said, oh no, we were protecting our people. It's coming out now that those things that they did were not really protective. How about that? So we obeyed man rather than obeying God and saying, we're going to come together and we're going to worship. We listened to some pseudoscience tell us that if you sing in church, it's worse than going to Walmart or to a casino. We didn't pay attention to the word of God. We paid attention to the word of everybody else. And if you don't like what I'm saying, well, that's what I've been telling you about. People get mad at you. And it's going to come out more and more exactly what happened. But children of God need to stand up, and we need to start standing up right now, or we're going to find out we're going to be in a very bad spot. Because we're already there. I'm telling you what, more and more I look in the Bible, I see perilous times shall come. I'm seeing perilous times. But that doesn't mean that we're supposed to sit back and say, well, we're just experiencing what's coming and we shouldn't do anything. That's not all what I'm talking about. He has put his words in our mouth. We need to get those words out there. The Great Commission says go. Do. Starts right where you are. I'm telling you what, witnessing can start right in the pew or the chair or whatever you're doing, right in your church, because there's lost people all around you. You can be that example to them. Show them through your words, through your actions. And your words and your actions should match one another and go forth. So he's saying, look, Jeremiah, I knew you before you were formed. I knew you. I knew you before you were born. Before you were conceived, I knew you. Before you were born, I knew you. He said, I set you aside. I ordained you. You've got something to do. I'm telling you right now, you have something to do. Number one, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. You need to accept Jesus Christ, that free gift of salvation. And say, I'm going forth from here with a new life, eternal life, only through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. Now let's get to verse 10. And he said, see. And there's a comma right there. He said, this is what I'm trying to tell you, Jeremiah. This is the culmination of everything I've said. This is the summation. Here's what it is. See, I have this day set thee over nations. There again, nations and over the kingdoms. He said, this day I've set you over nations and kingdoms. What you are going to do is far reaching. What you will do today will be far reaching. If you're lost and you don't accept Jesus Christ, it's far reaching. If you do accept Jesus Christ, it's far reaching. There's an eternity. It's far reaching. If you're a child of God, you're saved and you're not doing anything, it's far reaching. If you are doing something, it's far reaching. Today, what you do is far reaching. Is it going to be for the Lord or for yourself? That's what we've got to decide. He said, I've set thee over nations. And over kingdoms. We look at this and I hear so much as that. Well, it's bad. It's this. Yes, it is. I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying that gas prices aren't high. The food prices aren't high. That you can't find stuff. That it's difficult to go in and you listen and they say, well, we've ordered this and we can't get it. I'm not saying that those things aren't true. But I'm telling you, God knows it. And he set you as a child of God, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, over nations and over kingdoms. Not to rule them, but to let them know the word of God. To not be afraid of their faces, not be afraid of what they have. He said, I've set them, you over them. And then he goes on to this. He said, to root out. What are we supposed to be rooting out? Evil. Satan's works. We're to be telling people about what he is and what it's really about, and not about what we're about, but about what he's about. To root out and to pull down those strongholds. And I'm telling you right now, most of those strongholds that Satan has exist in the church. They exist in the local church. You see these local churches and they're falling apart. It's because there's a stronghold in there. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, we don't like the truth. I've already told you that. We got to root out those strongholds in our churches and tear them down so that they can do what they're supposed to do. To pull down and to destroy. Get rid of them. Push them out. Don't allow them in your life, in your church, in your community, in whatever you root it out. Tear it down. Destroy it and to throw down. All negatives. Root out, pull down, destroy, and throw down. But then he says, to build. To build. See, it's not all about tearing down. Yeah, we got to get rid of that stuff. It's just like a field or something, you know, and we're coming up on, we're in deer season. I love that, man. I love to deer hunt. If you go out there, you know, if you're going to plant a food plot, or I don't care if you're a farmer or even a garden, you go out there and you tear down the weeds. Till up the soil, you break it up, you throw it down, you do everything you can to destroy what's there. But then you change and you start to build. You get your seeds together, you put your trellises up for whatever, you know, for your tomato plants or whatever it is. You throw your rows out there, and then it says, and to plant. Then you take that seed and you put it out there. You see, that's what he's talking about. It's not about being mean. It's not about being vengeful. It's about doing the right thing. You got to tear that stuff down in order to build. When you build a house, you don't go out there and go, hey, I'm going to live in the weeds. You go out there and you get a site ready. You tear down. You get rid of what is there so that you can start to build upon that. To plant a family there, to see that nurtured and to grow it up. We've got to tear down that old stuff in our lives and in our places. We don't like that. We don't like to hear that. Sometimes I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get to. You're going to be in a church that is not going to be there for you to do that. They're going to oppose you so much, and they've been ensconced so deep in there. It's like an old tree. It's got a great root system, and you can't get it out of the ground. Don't stay there and fight your battle forever against nothing. Go somewhere that you can. Go somewhere that you can tear down and build up and plant. Now, I know that's not a good message, but I'm telling you right now, some of these churches that are round about are just going to decay. That's why we see these churches a lot of times, and it's not a good message, I know that, but they're just falling apart, and you see one that's just right down the road, and they're growing. It's not that they're preaching the wrong message, or they're doing the wrong things. We like to say that, oh, well, you know, they're bringing all that new stuff in, or they're doing this, or they're doing that, or, you know, that young guy down there, he's got a beard, or or his hair looks funny, or he wears skinny jeans. Believe me, I don't like skinny jeans any more than anybody else, and a lot of guys should not be wearing them. But if they want to wear them and their church is growing, why don't we find out why it's growing? Is it growing because of all these bad things? Or is it growing because they're preaching the word of God and they're taking it to people that you won't take it to? And why aren't you patting them on the back? Why aren't you praying for them as we see souls saved? That's what we should be doing for one another. We got to pull down, we got to destroy, but we've got to build up. We've got to plant. We've forgotten about that aspect. We're good at tearing each other down, but we're terrible at building up and planting. And I'm not talking about planting new churches. I know so many denominations, they just want to do that. Just, oh, let's just go plant a new church and we'll just forget about everything else. And they go in there and they drop and fail. And then they just say, oh, well, it was just not a good idea. No, I'm talking about planting the word of God, planting those seeds of the word of God. The sower, the parable of the sower, sowing those seeds out there, knowing that some are going to fall into thorns, some, you know, this and that, but some are going to fall on good ground. It's a totally different sermon, but that's what we're supposed to be planting. The word of God. Taking it out there. Giving it to him. Saying, Lord, the harvest is yours anyway. And if somebody's over here, I'm going to support them. I'm going to go to their revival. I'm going to go to their VBS. I'm going to help them out as much as I can. I'm going to pray for them every single day. I'm going to pray that our church will grow too, but I'm going to pray for them as well. And I'm going to rejoice with them. That's what we should do. There's a lot of tearing down, but there's a lot of building up, and we need to get to building. There's got to be some tearing down, and we need to do that, but we got to build to get to building. You're formed by Jesus Christ, because all things are created by him. That's what John said, everything. He knows you today. He loves you today. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. And if you do know him as your personal savior, today is the day to get off your hindquarters and get to going and doing something. I appreciate you allowing me to be with you today. My name is Charles Morgan, Word is Alive Ministries.